Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about question and answers and feedback and our off-topic series. Right now we've been going through a series on developing supernatural goals. And then once you develop them, what do you do about them? How do you reach those goals? And obviously our overarching goal is always to learn how to depend on God. Now last week we were talking a great deal about how to long-term versus short-term goals, and how very often our short-term goals are related to a crisis. And our long-term goals often deal with larger issues. So we don't want to say we've accomplished a goal just because it no longer hurts. We don't want to say, okay, you know, now that I'm through this, we can go on to something else in life. We're through this. We're done with it. We all know the consequences of that is we will be going around the mountain again. Until God frees us from these things, we are not free. And that's what we are really looking for, is to be free from these things. Now, some of these things are part of our temperament, and some of those, because they are part of our temperament, they're not something we're going to be free from. But what we will be free from is to be able, because we are not clear about their origin, we can be manipulated, either, well, by any of our enemies, the world, the flesh, or the devil. In other words, if you are a certain temperament that reacts to stress a certain way, if you react to stress by avoiding it, your temperament may be predisposed to that. But if you don't realize that and you take on, for instance, guilt, you are being manipulated in your emotions. So once you realize, no, that's just my temperament, you can then objectively go back to the Lord and ask, okay, Lord, well, what then do you want my reaction to be in this situation? And that's part of it, too, is we often label ourselves with these titles and names that cloud our whole perception of ourselves based on one or two incidents, very often when we're very young, and then we have a tendency to reinforce them over time. So these are some of the things that hopefully through this process will come to the surface so that they can be dealt with, exposed, healed, overcome, whatever, so they are no longer a hindrance to your entering into that rest, getting healed, and knowing God, spirit, soul, and body. We were also talking a little bit about how those short-term goals that we have are basically oriented towards getting out of pain, that we just want the pain to go away. We just want to get out of that situation. And so we will learn, hopefully, that to be able to recognize pain and discomfort and recognize those hindrances before they become so intrusive in our lives. We don't want to have to wait till things get out of control, out of hand, where other people are hurt, or whether or if we cause major damage to ourselves, our career, our physical being, well-being. So we want to be able to recognize pain and discomfort and things going wrong in our lives much more quickly than we do. A dependent life is not going to look like everything's going right. Okay, we look at the life Jesus led, and just as an observer, it's not something we would call peaceful. We don't think of, you know, the things that he went through, being rejected and causing trouble and rocking the boat and stilling the waters, as, you know, he had achieved a state of being above it all. He was right there in the midst of everything, and some of it he caused. So we want to be aware that we are participating in this world. We are participating in what God is doing. And we're not just thinking in terms of, I'm just going to get through this, and then everything will be all right. We're seeing how, as we participate in this world, the battle is ours. We've already won the war. The war's been done. We win. But the battle is for your soul and your body. And it's you are the one who is waging it against your enemies. If you have any questions about any of these topics we're talking about, we've discussed quite a few of them in previous podcasts. So I encourage you to review back and see if there's any your interest, address the questions you might have. And we're looking to get the descriptions a little bit more fleshed out, so if you're looking for something specific, you'll be able to go directly to something that answers your questions. Or if you want to call in, feel free to do that as well. The number is 718-664-6988. And we'll see if we can address your question or your comment on air. Now, when we last were talking, it's been occurring to me that here I've got you focusing on 10 items from your life that you'd like to change that have caused you problems or are challenges, or basically something that you're disappointed with, or that you wish you had done different. And without an understanding of the whole process and being able to have that reliance on God readily available, that might cause us to get very down and possibly cause us to be even more negative about where we are when we see them all written down. I know for some, just writing them down frees us. We see them in black and white, you know, oh, okay, so I lost a job, or I dropped out of school, or I broke off with my fiance, and you think, you know, wow, I've been carrying that around for 20 years. That's been like a weight. And look at it, it's just a few words. And we feel that burden lift. That's just a gracious thing God does sometimes, just on His own. Without us even needing to ask, He brings that freedom to us because we've allowed Him to take it from us. by bringing it to the surface, by writing it down, we give it to him. And we see it in black and white, and he frees it, frees us from it. For others, it may be causing you more pain because you had done a real good job of stuffing it. And one of the big problems with bringing up things from the past is that there's a lot of guilt and condemnation and just in general negative feelings oriented towards mistakes we've made. Our emotions are the last things to change. They are the least reliable when it comes to objectivity. Trying to use our own strength to bring our emotions under control is like to recapture the mercury out of a thermometer that's broken. Trying to chase it around, and it splits up, and it's almost impossible. Because you never know how it's going to react. And we always just feel it's so slippery. Our emotions can be so slippery to try to gain control over them. And again, this is not for everyone, but for many. And so we base our evaluations of our past on how we feel about our past. And a good indicator that something happened in the past that you have still not gotten healing for is that you experience the same level of emotion now, if not more, than you did at the time of the situation. Example, say your parents got divorced when you were very young and you were just heartbroken. Well, if today you look back on that situation when perhaps your father was telling you goodbye, if you still feel that angst, that overwhelming fear or panic, or even more so now than you did when it actually happened, that is a signal that that wound is still there and has probably been affecting your decisions and your life. So put a star by something like that. Okay. Now again, as we go through the list, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 30, let's not get too carried away, but we'll be taking those to God. Okay, and he will be deciding which ones he wants to deal with first. But you are in this. Okay, this is something that we're not just reeds in the wind being blown about by God's whim. We are partners with him in this. We are yoked with him doing our work. So we're not passive at all. We are definitely involved in the process. He wants us to learn the process because the learning of the process will bring us into greater dependence on him. He could heal you 100% right now, but that wouldn't bring you into a greater relationship with him, into a greater dependence, greater, you wouldn't be able to know how to receive from him. So we are unfortunately often going to be dealing with a lot of our negative feelings and negative thoughts when we start looking at our past. Now some may say, well, the past is past. There's nothing you can do about it. And in most cases, that approach may work. But we've talked on many occasions about the nature of time, in that, yes, the time has passed when you can change what happened as far as how it affects you now. If you were not a spirit being, as a Christian, you are not at the mercy of your past. Instead, you can redeem that time. You can make it new. You can revisit it, change it, and undo the ill effects it has had on your life. And that's really what we're going to be doing by establishing goals in the supernatural realm to overcome those negatives in your life. So this is one how we start to make objective, and the whole concept of redeeming the time is going back in time and undoing the thorns and the misconceptions and the wounds that have changed and affected and altered and determined where you are today. In each one of these situations, we're going to look at who was involved and who had responsibility and authority and what actions were taken and those kinds of things as the Lord determines. But one of the things that we need to have very clear as we approach this process is God's view of forgiveness. As we started talking about it last week, forgiveness is not something you do. Forgiveness is a character trait you have. You are a forgiving person. Now, because you are a forgiving person, you forgive. Just as you are a generous person, that's part of your character, because you are a Christian, because you are a spirit being, you are a little Christ, you're a chip off the old block. All of his characteristics you have, all of Father's characteristics you have. So he is generous, and because he is generous, he gives. You are generous, because you are a generous person, you give. You are a loving person. Because you are a loving person, you love. You are a forgiving person. Because you are a forgiving person, you forgive. Notice in all those character attributes, we didn't talk at all about the recipient. We talked about the giver. We talked about our characteristics. When God tells us to give, we don't give because they deserve it. We give because we are a giving person. Just as God is a healer, God wants us whole, so he heals. Healing is an extension of his character. So it is not about us deserving it, or asking for it right, or following the right steps It's being available to receive, being able to receive unconditionally what God gives unconditionally. So forgiveness no longer depends on the actions or even the attitude, whether they're the past actions and attitude or the present actions and attitude, or what you think they may be in the future. We forgive because we are a forgiving spirit being. It has nothing to do with anyone else involved. And it doesn't matter if we feel like it, if we want to, or if the other person deserves it. We forgive because that is who and what we are. So let's back up and look for a second at what is being forgiven, okay, and what is forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that was before you were born probably, every sin was paid for. We often think that it was the debt or the damage of sin, the effect of sin, that was forgiven or excused or covered. That God somehow excuses sin. But that's not at all what forgiveness was or is. And it's not what Jesus died for. When he died, Father stamped that bill, the invoice. He stamped it, paid in full. Every sin that you committed before you became a Christian was paid in full 2,000 years ago. Every sin that you've committed between becoming a Christian and now has been paid for. Every sin that you have yet to commit has been paid for. So it's like, you are free to sin as much as you want because there's no accounting of it. You have an account that you can draw on as much as you'd like. It's a bottomless pit. Okay? So sin, the payment for sin, the debt for sin, that's not the issue, is it? But it's not that God now overlooks our sin, but that they've all been paid for. If we don't understand that we are no longer a sinner, that will be our focus. Sin will be our focus. If we think that our nature is still fighting against being a sinner versus being a saint or acting like a Christian, we still have that debt mentality that I have to somehow pay for these sins, even if it's by making sure I don't commit any. We are sin-focused. We are debt-focused. And just having that focus in our mind, our will, and our emotions will keep us from objectively participating in the freedom that we now own, that is now part of our very life. It is part of your very being. So we are no longer looking at what was accomplished 2,000 years ago, but what God is doing in us and through us now and what our new nature is. So before the crucifixion, sin was measured by how well a person's behavior measured up to the standard of a particular law. When Jesus met that standard by fulfilling the law, the very definition of sin changed. So that under grace, sin is no longer a matter of our behavior, but our identity. Are you living according to who you are now? Or are you still trying to measure up to the standard of the law? By measuring your behavior through the strength of your behavior, as if we could do on our own what only Jesus could do and has already done 2,000 years ago. So, on what basis then do we seek forgiveness from God today? If forgiveness is asking Him to excuse or cover our sin, wasn't that already accomplished perfectly and once and for all by Jesus 2,000 years ago? What then are we asking Him to do? How can we ask Him to do something now that He's already done 2,000 years ago? He forgave you of everything 2,000 years ago. By asking Him to forgive you again, all you're doing is reminding Him that you don't know who you are. You are forgiven. We don't go to our parents now and say, oh, by the way, I'm your child. Your identity is established, and thank you for bringing me into this world. Well, maybe on birthdays. But so now, if we don't come to Him to ask Him for forgiveness, since He's already taken care of that 2,000 years ago, what do we say now when we make a mistake or move in the flesh or are at the mercy and act according to our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, or come short of what we know He's asked us to do and enabled us to do? How about whoops? And then we go on. So, under grace, the need for forgiveness is no longer there between us and God. So, as we address our list, where there is an area of forgiveness that is necessary, all you're going to do, as far as this exercise is concerned, as far as this process, is mark it down. Whether it's, I need to ask this person for forgiveness. For right now, this is all we're just look at, bring this to the surface. Or, I need to forgive this person. Or, I need to resolve this hurt I've done to this person. Or, God failed me here. That's an area you need to forgive Him. So these are, for right now, just write them down. But recognize that your perception of forgiveness is not going to be that you will have to make up the difference. The difference has already been made up. And you're not going to have to measure up to somebody else's standards to receive their forgiveness. But we'll pick it up here next Saturday when we get back together. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio, Have a great weekend.